There is suffering from poisonous effects. Bhitare, within. Anandamay, transcendental ecstasy. Krishna Premara, of love of Krishna. Hadbhuta, wonderful. Charita, characteristic. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In this way, Lord Chaitanya used to revel in ecstasy day after day and exhibit these ecstasies before Swarup and Ramananda Roy. Externally, there appeared severe tribulation, as if he were suffering from poisonous effects. But internally, he was experiencing bliss. This is the characteristic of transcendental love of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Pakadatmayam Dharati Shvaparam Sikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyata Rishitarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shibashari Gaudavaktavinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So this is a condensation of very elevated pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then they're later expanded into the Antya Lila. And of course, myself not being very elevated, maybe rasa basa, but anyway, I'll try my best by the mercy of all of you to say something. So actually this last verse is appropriate in one sense that we repeated it as the main verse, because it's a summary of what has transpired up to this point. Lord Chaitanya, in total ecstasy, in the beginning of this chapter, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani, and then he enters into those ecstasies in Vyabhichari Bhava, disruptive manifestations of love of Godhead. So these changes, you know, these are Vicharini Bhava is sometimes difficult to understand for conditioned souls, even for liberated souls, meaning liberated in higher understanding of philosophy, because the transformations seem to be things just like Srila Prabhupada said, of course, in Bhagavad Gita, the example of a tree that has its real form in the spiritual world and reflection in the material world. So all of these bicharini bhavs, or different disruptive, changing manifestations of love of God, are those same things within this world. You know, anger, frustration, lamentation on the material platform, when we consider that that these, you know, these things are not, from a philosophical point of view, of one practicing sadhana bhakti, they're not very desirous. One is lamenting, one is, you know. Actually, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma-bhuta prasannatmana shochatina kangshati, that actually Brahma-bhuta, or the beginning of spiritual life, when one comes to the Brahma-bhuta platform, one should give up lamentation, one should give up hankering. But yet we see Srimati Radharani in her highest ecstasies of love of Krishna manifest these things very intensely. So that which is very elevated in the spiritual world is not so desirous on the material platform. No. And therefore in previous verses it states that these things are incomprehensible. Otherwise, on the material platform, Srila Prabhupada explains previously that these things are, you can't understand these things from the material platform. You can't understand what's going on here on the material platform. Impossible. No. So, but as Srila Prabhupada, as a translation, says here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, externally, there appeared to be severe tribulation. Sometimes the severe tribulations of the Lord in his ecstasy, even in his pastimes, were very, very difficult for the devotees, especially these particular pastimes taking place in Gambira, where the Lord rubs his face against the walls and grinds his teeth until his face is bleeding and hits his head on the wall. Now, these are very distressful for Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. But the Lord is in ecstasy. And then sometimes he would escape and, they were sitting at the door. Govinda was sitting at the door. And then they'd open the door and he's not there. They don't hear it. They hear something for a long time. Then they don't hear anything. And then they open the door and he's not there, which is very mysterious. And then they would find him, lying on the ground with either his limbs totally inside of his body like a tortoise, or his limbs extended out with an extended hand in between all the joints. And one time they found him, they were looking for him, they saw a light, and all around the light were all cows. And then they moved through the cows and found Mahaprabhu there in the middle there. All the cows were in ecstasy trying to lick his body. Externally speaking, these things were very difficult, although they understood, especially Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, they could understand these ecstatic manifestations. But it was very difficult for them. So here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it appeared like severe tribulation, but he was experiencing bliss. This is the characteristic of transcendental love of Godhead. One of the pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that especially illustrates this is the passing of Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri was passing, he was lamenting, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And his most thinking himself the most exalted but the most degraded disciple, Ramachandra Puri, he came to Madhavendra Puri and said, why are you lamenting? You should be meditating on Brahman. You're about to leave this world. You should be meditating on the Brahman. What's wrong with you? So first of all, he couldn't understand his spiritual master. Second of all, he committed the greatest offense by trying to correct his spiritual master. And then Madhavendra Puri was disgusted. He said, "Please get out of your sight. The last thing I want in this world is to see your face when I leave this body." Actually, I just did a little ISKCON pastime. I remember one devotee, I won't mention his name, although many may be able to figure out who it is. He was, he did a hospice, and one other senior devotee said, "I just can't imagine that the last thing I see in this world is his face as I leave my body." So this is a perverted reflection of this pastime. Maybe not perverted reflection, but a modern reflection. Of course, he's a Vaishnava, so I think we would be happy to see any Vaishnava's face while leaving this world. Although better to see Krishna's face. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, is seeing Krishna's face, and meditating on Krishna's face in these ecstasies. But because these ecstasies are transitory, they come and they go, sanchari, they have an impetus to rise, and they have an impetus to fall very quickly, and change into another ecstasy. So she was feeling great, great distress that, you know, better I don't hear Krishna's flute, because it's this love for Krishna is so disturbing, you know, because I become very blissful and then it's taken away. So therefore, she's saying, I don't recommend this kind of love, this love that Krishna has awakened within us. I can't recommend it, you know, because it leaves you so distressed. So, just a few verses back before the verses we're discussing now, she enters into sattvika, you know, a more stable, natural love of Godhead. And in that stable, natural of love of God, dainya begins to manifest, you know, extreme humility. You know. And in this extreme humility, this is the subject matter of a few previous verses, and what was spoken in these first three verses that we read. First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, you are seeing me. For, you know, first of all, he saw Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy after being in total ecstasy, didn't even perceive their presence. Then when he perceived their presence, he said, just like when he first entered the Jagannath temple, one of his first manifestations of love of God upon entering external manifestations, upon entering Jagannath Puri, then he ran before the deities and he passed out. And of course the guards were ready to throw him out. Who is this? But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him to his house, and after the devotees finally came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they revived him by chanting the holy name. And then he said, have I been acting improperly? Have I done something wrong? Because Mahaprabhu, of course we also experienced the same with Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes he would enter into ecstasy, although to be able to preach Krishna consciousness, to preach on the Madhyam platform, Srila Prabhupada had to restrain his ecstasy, but sometimes it couldn't be restrained. And then, you know, Srila Prabhupada would come back to his external and just continue to preach. Sometimes he couldn't even continue to preach. But in this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so deep in ecstasy for hours and hours and hours that he would come out of that ecstasy and he would ask, like he did here in previous verses, did I do something wrong? Who am I? You know, where are we? You know, just like sometimes we wake up in the morning, we may be in that state, not due to ecstasy, generally speaking. You know? Maybe it's ecstasy for some, you know, but certainly not transcendental ecstasy. Although sometimes we use the logic that I'm a devotee, therefore everything I do is devotional service. And therefore, these ecstasies, I say, whatever I'm doing must be transcendental. That's not a very good logic. But anyway, sometimes we may feel that way. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately, because in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that he will teach everyone by his example. So whenever he would go into ecstasy and come out of that ecstasy, he would immediately feel that, no, I can't, I don't want to be like this. Even, as I mentioned the other day, in his meeting, his first meeting with Ramananda Roy, he realized that, you know, these brahmanas, I mean, Ramananda Roy was totally absorbed in transcendental bliss. He just forgot about everything. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although momentarily he fell into bliss to be reunited with Vishakha, then he regained his external consciousness. He saw these brahmins looking over there and bewildered, and the guards even more bewildered. That, why is the sannyasi embracing a shudra? No. So here again, so he said, have I misbehaved? No. And then he falls into this extreme humility, you know. And just in the end of the previous verse, nonetheless, I shall be done with all formalities and speak from the heart, please hear. He's saying, although he's back in the external consciousness, whatever I've demonstrated, and even what I'm going to say now, certainly is not according to formality. Otherwise, This has nothing to do with Bhakti Bhakti. This has nothing to do with externally executing religious principles. This is something very, very special, but I have to speak it. I have to speak from my heart. This is what I feel. Then he says here that you see me crying in separation. I'm just demonstrating something. I'm not seeing Krishna, his beautiful face. I'm not seeing Krishna playing his flute. No. I continue to live my life like an insect for that purpose. And he goes on, another verse. Actually, my love for Krishna is far, far away. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being the acharya. An acharya, a great devotee of the Lord, a Vaishnava, always thinks like this. I have no love for Krishna. Krishna is far, far away from me. And then, of course, he teaches us how to avoid persons who feign this type of behavior, who exhibit this type of behavior artificially. He says, whatever I do is actually an exhibition of pseudo-love for Krishna. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warning us against the sahajyas, that these people, he's taking the role of a sahajya to teach us that be very careful with these sahajyas. They are not really exhibiting love of God. When you see me cry, I am simply falsely demonstrating my great fortune. So definitely it's a great fortune to be in touch with Krishna. But one should demonstrate that great fortune according to one's adhikar, according to one's position, according to one's actual level of realization. So my great fortune, certainly it's a great fortune to be in touch with Krishna. But I'm not on that platform. Whatever I just exhibited, I'm not on that platform. It's a show. Please try to understand this without a doubt. Otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now wants to continue as the acharya. Although in this particular phase, where he's totally absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, he can no longer be acharya. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, and I just mentioned, that when one is fully situated on the Uttama Adhikari platform and absorbed in the mood of the Uttama Adhikari, it's very difficult for him to be an acharya in this world. No. Very difficult. Just like Daruka, when he was fanning Krishna, and he began to fall into ecstasy, and then his fan just dropped down, and then, I can't, this will interfere with my service. So even the service of preaching or teaching, if one is totally absorbed in the Uttama Adhikari platform, then it's very difficult to teach others. And whatever you teach them by that example will be misunderstood by neophyte devotees. Therefore, Gaurakishoredas Babaji Maharaj, he was very critical of those, very careful and critical of those who came to try to see him and would, try to exhibit something that they didn't have, and was very careful that those people weren't around him. Because he was an Uttama Adhikari, and he was living the experience of an Uttama Adhikari. So he knew that if these people are around me, they'll just create a disturbance. Create a disturbance for me and a disturbance for everyone else. So then Mahaprabhu says, even though I do not see the moon-like face of Krishna as he plays on his flute, and although there is no possibility of my meeting him, still I take care of my own body. This is the way of lust. In this way, I maintain my fly-like life. Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, when he's exhibiting what it's like to receive the mercy, or he's telling us what it's like to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yat Karunya Kataksha Vai Bhavavatam, that when one receives even a little fraction of the merciful glance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then vidi mahendra dis chakitayate. Then even the position of Brahma or Indra is just like the position of an insect. You know? Nobody aspires to be an insect, or at least most people don't. Nobody says, I want to be a fly. You see a mosquito, and yeah, let me do this. No, we don't do that. But actually, according to Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, we're always doing that. No, we're aspiring for positions which, to someone who is situated in pure love of Godhead, is just like the position of an insect. Any position within this material world, be it very prestigious or very ordinary, is just like the position of an insect when one is situated in love of God. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this twice, an insect, my fly-like life, now showing us how a devotee should feel, what degree of humility a devotee should feel, that my life, I'm insignificant. Without the mercy of the Vaishnavas, without the guidance of the Vaishnavas, without the care of the Vaishnavas, I'm not going to be able to advance in spiritual life. And any spiritual life that I may exhibit will simply be a show. This is the safest position. As soon as one thinks that I'm very advanced, I'm senior. I've seen, we can see this sometimes in our Krishna conscious movement, that people, like in the beginning, very humble, offering obeisances to everyone, and then as we begin to consider ourselves senior, then, these are juniors here. I don't need to offer my obeisances. I don't need to. Sometimes that mentality, that consciousness can creep in, that now I'm superior, now I'm in some. We may have to act in a senior position. That may be. One has to act in a... sometimes one has to accept that, but that should be an austerity. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that this position of guru is very difficult. Because on the one hand, one can never think that I'm guru, otherwise you're a guru, like a cow, animal consciousness. But on the other hand, I have to accept this position and tell everyone what to do. And not only that, I have to criticize. Everybody I see, I have to criticize. So he said, this is a very difficult position. Not an enviable position. It's not that one becomes guru and, hey, this is a good business. Get donations, mahaprasadam, everybody likes me. Everybody treats me nicely. Very, very difficult position. Being, as Krishna gives us more responsibility, we have to become very, very Krishna conscious to be able to manage that responsibility properly. Because one can, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that prestige is more dangerous than anything else, more dangerous than sex life, more dangerous than the most dangerous thing, pratishtha. Because on the platform of pratishtha, it's very difficult to perceive it, and therefore one can very easily be deviating from Krishna consciousness and think that I'm advancing. It's a very dangerous position. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says here, of course this is more expanded very beautifully in the Antilila, this particular sentiment, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here he says, I still take care of my body, and later on he says, the fact that I'm even breathing means that I have no love of Godhead. Otherwise, the fact that I'm maintaining my existence within this material world means that I have no love for Krishna. Of course, we may think, well, wait a minute, what should I do? Should I take, just like Srila Prabhupada in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day, he tells that story of Muniputra Majiva, that the son, otherwise a brahmachari, or someone who's very fixed up at a young age in devotional service, he shouldn't live very long because he may deviate. So should I think like that? Like this is kind of expressing here? Or should I Should I not maintain my material existence, or should I maintain my material existence? And as he said, this is the way of lust, my gosh, maintaining material existence. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us the indication that to maintain this body, there's only one purpose, and that is to please Krishna. No. Otherwise, anything else you do is simply lust. No. And therefore he illustrates it with these extreme manifestations of transcendental emotion. No. I take care of this body, I breathe. So Srila Prabhupada mentions here in his purport, the milana, or the coming together, is called alambana. That when Krishna plays his flute and the gopis come, actually Srimati Radharani in her ecstasy, manifested by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she says, I wish that Krishna's flute would just get washed away. You know? Just that the Yamuna or something could just grab it and wash it away. Because every time he plays his flute, it creates so many disturbances in my life. You know? Of course, this is her ecstasy. She wants to hear Krishna's flute always. But she's explaining that because this is alambana, this is when the flute plays and I come together, that's very wonderful. But then this separation, because all of what's being spoken here is speaking of separation. But when the separation comes, it's unbearable. Therefore, better that Krishna loses his flute, you know, because otherwise this is unbearable. Srila Prabhupada says here that the object cannot see the moon-like face of Krishna and has no eagerness to see him is the sign of being without alambana. Otherwise, alambana means meeting Krishna, or when you're in separation, you are with Krishna. No. So actually, for someone, especially for Srimati Radharani, or someone situated in unalloyed love of Godhead, then there actually is no separation. There's external separation. But this alambana indicates that there is really no separation. Because as soon as there is external separation, the internal union of Krishna with his flute, the Srimati Radharani with Krishna, the devotee in pure devotional service with Krishna is intensified. But speaking externally, these things may be said. So Srila Prabhupada said, if one has no eagerness to see him, this is a sign that you are not situated in it. Therefore, don't exhibit these symptoms unless you are actually on the platform of alambana, that you are always united with Krishna. Whether you're with him or without him, you're always united with Krishna in meditation. Well, externally imagining such things simply satisfies one's lusty desires and one lives without purpose. So otherwise, if there's any other purpose in life, then it's useless without love of God. And then, in the next verse, says, love of Krishna is very pure, like the waters of the Ganga. And that love is an ocean of nectar, but that pure attachment to Krishna does not conceal any spot, which would appear like a black spot on a pure white cloth. Otherwise, he's saying, in other words, that if pure love of Godhead is actually manifested, then there can be no separation. And that, because that separation, just like if we have some nice new cloth and then spill something on it, then it looks very bad. If you have beautiful new cloth, then it looks very nice. But if you spill something on it, you have a spot, even a small spot on it, everyone will notice the spot. And no one will notice the beauty of the white cloth. So if we have improper behavior in devotional service, if our behavior is not properly exhibited and properly monitored by senior Vaishnavas, by Sri Guru, Guru Shastra and Sadhu, then that white spot, that inappropriate behavior will immediately be noticed by unqualified persons, and they will imitate it. But otherwise, we have to be very careful how we act in Krishna consciousness. Even in our platform of executing Vaidhi Bhakti, if we act improperly, then people will immediately criticize Krishna consciousness, or they'll find an excuse to give up Krishna consciousness. No. If we do something wrong, we do something improper, then persons newer in devotional service, they will use that as their example. Well, he was a big Vaishnava, and he fell down. Therefore, what to speak of me? Therefore, what's the use? I should just go on with my material activity. Because this person practiced Krishna consciousness for so long. So it's a great burden of responsibility to be a Vaishnava, because we have to be a perfect example for everyone else. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada explains again in the purport that absence of love of Godhead is very prominent. So otherwise, pure devotees, they very quickly see. I remember 1976 in Mayapur, we were taking darshan of the deities, and this one man, one local man came in, and he raised his hands up and he started crying, and then he fell on the ground and started rolling around pretty near Srila Prabhupada. I think he was trying to exhibit to Srila Prabhupada that he was in love with God, and Srila Prabhupada looked like this. And he went, looked again, and he took his cane and he went, And some of the devotees just grabbed him and took him out, and Prabhupada smiled. So this is what he said here. It's very prominent. Otherwise, a devotee who's on the platform of love of Godhead, when he sees such exhibitions, just take him out. No, there's nothing here. There's nothing real here. So in the next verse, it's stated that this unalloyed love of Godhead is an ocean of happiness. And even one drop of that, it's so exalted and it's so intense that even one drop of it can inundate the three worlds. Otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to give this love of Godhead is inundating the three worlds. Just one drop of it. What to speak of pure manifestation of devotional service or the ocean. The ocean cannot even be conceived of in the material world. So now he's saying, I should not be saying this. I should not be saying to you what I'm saying. But I'm a madman. Otherwise, when we see a madman in the street, of course, in the U.S. you don't see so many because they... Well, you do see them, but not as much. Pardon? Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, there are places, where they congregate. But, of course, from a devotional point of view, everyone is a madman. There's actually two types of madmen. Madmen in this material world, actually when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking about madmen, when Mahaprabhu was addressing Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, he said that after he's explaining why don't I study Vedanta? Because my guru said, "Murka," to me, you're a fool. Therefore, japa sada, you should just chant the holy name, constantly, incessantly. But he said that was the order of my spiritual master, so I did it. But then all of a sudden, I became mad. So I went back to my spiritual master. And I said, what kind of a mantra have you given me? Because this is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just coming out of the Leela of Nimai Pandit. And he's saying to these, of course, these very dry philosophers, that I was very advanced Pandit, as you know, you expressed to me. And then all of a sudden I got this mantra and became mad. So I was thinking, this mantra is taking away all my knowledge. It's covering all my knowledge, it's covering everything, all my philosophy. I'm just becoming mad. And Ishwara Puri smiled. And he said, you are very fortunate. You are very fortunate. Because this is the result of chanting the holy name of Krishna. This is the result. And then he said, everyone in this world is interested in dharma, kama, moksha, artha. They're interested in these four goals. But panchama purushartha, but the fifth goal, that's what you're experiencing now. And compared to the whole combination of these other goals is not even one drop of this fifth goal of love of Godhead. No. So you're re-experiencing something very, very special. No. And therefore, I have given you this Maha Mantra. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then my spiritual master spoke and repeated a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again. No. And this verse is the essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. No. Etam brata swa priya namakirtya. That when one, the holy name of the Lord becomes very dear to a devotee. No. Chatanurago tuta chitta uchchai. One becomes absorbed in ecstasy and one's consciousness becomes totally absorbed in Krishna. And then uchchai hasatyato rodati rauti gayat yunmadavan nidyati lokabahya. Then the effect is that one will begin to chant and dance and feel agitation, spiritual agitation within the heart, and chant and dance like a madman, not caring for anyone else. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, I'm a madman. No, this is what I'm experiencing. I'm a madman. And then he says, but even though he speaks, such a person speaks, madman, no one will believe him. No. So he's saying this is a very difficult situation. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Balabha Bhatta, just after Rupa Goswami and Anupama came to him, surrendered to him, he told them, now your material existence is finished. Krishna is being very merciful to you. No. And of course Rupa inquired about he explained Sanatan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where is Sanatan? Because he already knew. And Rupa said, no, he's in jail. And Mahaprabhu said, no, he's already out. He's on his way. So to cheer up Rupa Goswami. And then they stayed there, and the next day Balabha Bhatta came and he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he discussed a little bit about Krishna. And then Rupa and Anupama came forward and they saw this great Brahmana, Balabha Bhatta, and they offered obeisances from a distance. And then when they got up, Balabha Bhatta went to embrace them and they ran away. And they said, no, we're very contaminated. We have very low birth. You're a Brahmana. We can't touch you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, you should not touch them. No, they're actually of low birth. But then Balabha Bhatta saw them, chanting the holy name incessantly with ecstasy and tears in their eyes. And he said, he knew that he's sarcastically chastising me. That you're just a puffed up Brahman. You don't deserve to embrace them. Not that they don't deserve to. You don't deserve to embrace them. No. So then Balabha Bhatta realized these are very elevated devotees. Let me invite them to my home. I want to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they got in a boat and crossed the Yamuna. And in the middle of the Yamuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked into the dark, glossy waters and fell into ecstasy, jumped into the Yamuna. No. And so everybody had to pull him out. And when he got back in the boat, he felt such love of Godhead that he began to dance and the boat was filling up with water. Finally they calmed him. He was trying to control his ecstasy, but he couldn't. He was just being on the Yamuna. And so finally when the boat was like half full, they calmed him down. He tried to contain himself and they got to the other side. And then they took lunch, and just at that time, a great devotee of the Lord, Raghupati Upadhyaya, came dancing along the road, chanting the holy name. And Mahaprabhu could see he is a very elevated devotee. So he said, he greeted him, and he said, "Can you tell me something about Krishna?" And Raghupati was very happy. Well, he could give me this opportunity. So he spoke two verses. Now, this is related to what is said here, and just building up to it. So then he spoke the first verse, that Shutim Mahapare Shmitin Itare Bharatam Anye Bhajantu Bhava Bhita. That there are many people in this world who are speaking basically about the platform of philosophy, of studying the Vedas, studying the Puranas, because of Bhava Bhita, because of fear of material existence. So they're studying different Shastras and Mahabharata and this and that. But he said, "My position is different. No, my position, aham iha nandam bande, I worship Nanda Maharaj. And why do I worship Nanda Maharaj? Otherwise, I don't go into all these scriptural philosophical discussions. I worship Nanda Maharaj. And why do I worship Nanda Maharaj? Yasya linde param brahma. Because the param brahma is crawling around in his courtyard. No. The supreme person, the supreme absolute truth, is crawling around in his courtyard. So anyone who can subjugate the supreme absolute truth to crawl around in his courtyard, I will worship him. Teaching us that you have to worship the devotees. To understand Krishna, to come in contact with Krishna, you have to worship his devotees." But then he said another verse. And then he said, if I can remember that verse. Kam prati kataitum ishe. Who can I speak to? No? Sampati ko va pratitim ayatu. And who is going to believe me when I say what I'm about to say? No, that Gopati Tanaya, that the Yamuna, Kunja, on the banks of the Yamuna, that Gopabhadhuti Bitam Brahman, that this same Param Brahma is running around on the banks of the Yamuna chasing the wives of the Gopas. No, who is going to believe this? No, otherwise, who can understand these things? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then of course, after he spoke that, Mahaprabhu exhibited such ecstasy that Raghupati could understand that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one else can exhibit such ecstasy. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a few more verses, but we won't go into that because it's late already. But anyway, then Balabhavata realized the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the Supreme Personality of God. No, I mean, I've seen all these things, dancing in the boat, jumping in the Yamuna. His followers are absorbed in love of Godhead to a degree that is unattainable even to me. No, because I'm a philosopher. No. I have some love for Krishna, but through philosophy. So, no one will believe me. So these are the, then leading up to this last verse that we just repeated. So he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, who will understand these things? Otherwise, I'm begging you to try to understand what I'm going through, but who can really understand these things? Who will believe me? Who will understand these ecstatic symptoms that I am exhibiting before you? No. And then, and it says, as if bahye bishajwala haya. Bishajwala means the fever of material existence. It seemed like what he was doing, what he was exhibiting, is just like someone totally absorbed in the fever of material existence. But, no, bitare anandamoy. This is pure, internally, this was pure transcendental bliss. This is the characteristic of transcendental love for Krishna. So, This is Mahaprabhu. At every step, he's teaching us how to behave on every platform. This is the special characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we say, externally speaking in this world, multitasking. You know? He's the greatest multitasker. You know? He can be in total transcendental bliss and exhibit that. At the same time, he can give the example of proper behavior on the regulated platform. So these are the wonderful characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of God. So I think I'll stop here for today. Are there any comments or questions?
During the Sunday feast, we come every Sunday, naturally, and there's a very big turnout in the community with varying types of devotees who come. Many younger devotees come. And
some new people also.
And new people come, and people who are friends of the devotees come, various things like that. But there's varying types of behavior going on during that Sunday kirtan, as you will observe.
Okay.
And some of the things that
warning.
Go on is not, you know, some of the dancing, the way people dance and exhibit themselves in various ways may not be exactly the way that Srila Prabhupada taught us, but we try to be tolerant because we understand, you know, that Prabhupada always fanned the spark in so many different ways, and he was so extremely tolerant, you know, of devotees. So, but on the other hand, if people or devotees are doing things that are like improper in the temple, should some authority approach them and say that your dancing may not be strictly you know, in front of the deities, it may not be proper to do that type of thing.
Yes, of course. If it's not proper, it should be spoken about, of course.
But that's subjective, isn't it? Because
yes.
What I think may not be proper, maybe other people
well,
may
that's,
think
that's
it's
the
proper.
Other thing. So therefore, there has to be an examination of if it's proper or not. You know? Because here, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says is the most, not here, but in another part, the most elevated verse, or the most ecstatic verse, an important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, says that you should dance like a madman. You know?
Well, that,
there's a lot of consideration. But in 76 in Mayapur, some of the devotees had invented this new method of running from one side of the temple and sliding in front of Srila Prabhupada, and then running up and sliding into the deities. I'm like you're sliding into first base. And so and Prabhupada, he saw that one day, he said, and he called the devotee, he said, this is improper behavior. This is not dancing, this is lust. This is a desire. So just what illustrating what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that improper behavior in the name of pure devotion, in the name of ecstasy, is just material desire. It's improper. And Srila Prabhupada said it very strongly. Said it, and he gave like two classes, where in two of his classes after that, he spoke very, very strongly about this particular point of proper behavior. So yes, but you know, first of all, there should be an analysis, you know, because like you say, in the relative world, what is ecstasy to someone is foolish behavior to another. No. So we have to see, maybe some devotees are experiencing bliss, and what can you do? No. But but even a devotee who's experiencing bliss should be able to dance in such a way that will be preaching. No. That's why we speak on Chaitanya Charitamrita, not in the Sunday feast, but today when there are Vaishnavas, devotees who can understand. Of course, I can't understand it, but all of you can understand. We can understand these. This is very intimate. You know. We don't want to speak this in the Sunday feast or with in an audience of people who are not qualified to do so. So everything has to be analyzed, but I'll leave that up to the local devotees. I'll observe, like you said. If I see something extraordinarily unusual, I can mention it. Anyone else?
We have a saying in Colombia, es mejor atajar a un burro que pegarle al burro.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to tie the, you know, like control the horse than to be hitting the horse. Mm-hmm. The way that if I have a child and I have a kid, I encourage him to dance and chant, even though, you know, the kid sometimes, you know, play, maybe chant and dance playing in the temple. But, you know, Krishna also said that the one that chants in front of me, all his sinful activities run away.
Mm-hmm.
So we want them to chant, then they come to the temple, and when they're chanting and dancing, then we try to look for a mistake. So I think it's better for let them get out all the passion and the juice that they have by chanting in front of the Lord, that try to suppress that so they can go to the nightclub and do it there, you know?
Yeah, but one thing is children or young people. Another thing is, I think his point was it's for preaching. So for preaching, you know, Srila Prabhupada was always, you know, his main consideration is what about the preaching? What about the example? And of course, we're speaking about this here very intensely, in a very concentrated way, that improper behavior has to be. So if someone is doing that and it may not be so favorable for the preaching, you know, or if someone is doing it in such a way which is really improper, as we also discussed here, that it's the duty of a superior to be able to analyze. And we're speaking about the spot, and actually Krishna gave me a, you know, I can give that example today from the garland spots. Of course, it's transcendental garland, so these spots are transcendental. No, they're not obnoxious spots. It's the duty, actually, you know, because people will, all younger people, this is another consideration, they will take some example that may not be appropriate, whatever it may be, what we say, what we do, how we dance, how, and they may emulate it, and therefore, as Srila Prabhupada said, it's much easier to teach someone to play the piano than to teach them after they've learned to play it wrong. Otherwise, you learn to do something wrong, and it's very difficult to teach them to do it right. So, you know, there's many considerations. What you say is also a consideration. What you say is also a consideration. So that's why I say there has to be some discussion, some analysis. And then, you know, you can try to, in a loving way, not in a chastising way. Because if someone's dancing before Krishna, how can you chastise them? You know? But in a loving way. You know, of course, if they're sliding, then we may, you know. But if in a loving way, you know, say, Prabhu, you know, maybe, because there's a lot of people here, maybe just in the Sunday feast, you can, and Sunday morning, you know, go for it. You know, just exhibit your ecstasies, touch the ceiling, you know, in your dancing. Be careful with the fan. But so, anyone else?
Thank you for the nice class. I was thinking while you were speaking that the philosophy is so high and where I am is not so high. So how, internally, how can we match some kind of self-acceptance where we are and go from there and not get discouraged because the ideal is so high?
Oh, we should concentrate on that shastra and those practices that will nurture our Krishna consciousness. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, when we talk about the, you know, the eighth chapter of Madhya Lila or the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, you know, I mean, they're the most elevated expressions of Krishna consciousness, you know. Vaishnava devotees of the Lord consider that Chaitanya Charitamrita is the most ecstatic and the highest of all transcendental Madhurya literatures. So But we read it, you know, we read it and we try to understand it. Just like Srila Prabhupada said that when my Guru Maharaj spoke, I only understood 25%. You know, but I love to hear. So if we don't understand something, we just study and nurture our spiritual life, oh, maybe with Bhagavad Gita, you know, maybe with whatever is applicable that will help us grow in our Krishna consciousness. You know. That's sincerity. Sincerity is not being on the relative platform and trying to exhibit something, which is just what Mahaprabhu was saying here, something that is not actually where I'm at, or, you know, my level of Krishna consciousness or understanding. But, you know, those things may be there, and I with folded hands, I look up to them, and then I execute Krishna consciousness on the platform that I'm on at this particular time. Hare Krishna. Ramanya Prabhu.
Thank you for your wonderful lecture, Maharaj. This is amazing that what you were reading, the pastimes, intimate pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada through his books and lectures and his perfect example. Well, he gave us everything, and we're still sometimes, unfortunately, some people looking outside of ISKCON, you know, and Prabhupada gives us everything in his books. He said, read my books again. If you don't understand, read them again. So he gave us everything. You
know. No, definitely.
Pure love of Krishna.
Okay, so I think on that affirmation, that transcendental affirmation, we'll stop here. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ki Jai, Ki Jai.